Welcome to the European CME Forum podcast. European CME Forum is a not-for-profit organization that promotes multi-channel discussion on matters relating to European and global CME CPD. My name is Eugene Pozniak. I'm the program director of European CME Forum. This is the second of several podcast episodes where I'll be speaking with a workshop leader about their session at the 14th annual European CME Forum this November. In this episode, I'm joined by Dean Beals from DKB Med to discuss his upcoming workshop. The focus of today's episode is Independent Medical Education, One Standard for All.
Good morning.
Lovely to speak
to you. Lovely to see you too, Eugene. It's been too long. I hope things are well.
Yeah, well, I suppose we're all just sort of managing through these times, aren't we?
That is correct. We're all somehow trying to get past this and return to what we believe the world was, or should be anyway.
Yeah, should be. That's it. Yeah. But it's good that we are able to meet sort of like this, both, yeah, mostly virtually. But I think in the States, quite a few meetings are now starting to happen again in person.
You know, it's interesting. I think it's a real mixed bag. I think it depends on where you are, because as you know, in the States, each state has its own rules and regulations. So there are a number of meetings happening in Florida for reasons that I won't go into, but there are other states where, you know, meetings still remain, you know, postponed or delayed. So I think it all depends on whether or not people feel that participants and or faculty can get there, depending on the rules and regulations of the state and their institutions and all that sort of thing.
Sure. And of course, a lot of those meetings are sort of national. Of course, the US is a huge country and you can fill some of the conferences, but the international delegates wouldn't have been able to come to the country for a while. And of course, yeah, being based in Europe with smaller countries and more of these border controls and things, yeah, we haven't been able to commit this year to running 14 ECF as an in-person meeting. So we will do it as a virtual meeting this year, and next year aim to get to Barcelona.
Yeah, the only one that I know of thus far, well, I take that back. There was an alliance meeting that did actually happen in Florida over the summer, but we're hoping to all be back in Denver in January for the annual alliance meeting. So fingers crossed, we'll see what happens, but so far so good.
Excellent. No, indeed. So, you know, you talk about the alliance and about these meetings. We've known each other for a good few years now. But can you tell us here on this podcast, you know, a little bit about yourself and your own interest in and involvement in CME CPD?
Sure. So I've been involved in CPE and CME and independent medical education for probably going on 30 years now. A long time. It came about actually in a funny way. We were working with a pharmaceutical company at the time, and our client there back in the day said, we should do some CME. And I said, that's great. What's that? And she introduced me to someone who became actually a lifelong friend and mentor, a woman named Ruth Glotzer, who worked at Tufts, and introduced me then to the folks at Hopkins, and then it was sort of off to the races. So yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. We started DKB about 20 years ago, DKB Med started, and we've grown to about 17 people here in New York, and do sort of the full gamut of medical education. This year was quite the learning curve, as we had to pivot rather dramatically. But I think the whole community did. But I think honestly, medical education has probably never been as appreciated as much as it has been this year, because we've realized how important it is to educate people about, in this particular case, the pandemic.
Yeah, challenging times at the moment. And absolutely, you have a great point that medical education is really appreciated, and it's great to see so much of it out there. Although it seems that, you know, on the international space, that it's... we've got a lot of it in the Western countries, but in the Eastern European and sort of other parts of the world, it's not always, you know, so much of it around, but they are looking to the US and Western Europe the English language education. So we're seeing an uptick in usage from around the world. So if nothing else, it's certainly brought the world closer and internationalized medical education.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. We started doing COVID education on March 20th, which was basically a week after our office closed. And we thought, you know what? We didn't seek any grant support for it. We just went out there and started doing it. And the first program that we did, we had something like close to 5,000 learners from everywhere around the world. The only continent that was not represented was Antarctica. So I do think that this medium has actually helped in some ways. I think it's brought us quicker. It's brought us forward much quicker than we might have gone ourselves. As you know, the medical education system is not exactly always the most progressive in terms of embracing new methods of learning and embracing new technologies. So I do think that this actually brought us forward a lot quicker than we would have. So, you know, if there are some good things to come out of this horrible time that we're hopefully emerging from, I think that it's shown us that we can talk to people around the world with much greater ease than we might have been able to do previously.
Yeah. You know, and it's actually something we heard at last year's meeting. We had a presentation from GAME and the Outcomes from the Futurist Forum, where it was fascinating to hear from that meeting in Budapest, I think it was, where the outcome of the meeting was saying that the future will be sort of upon us within 10 years or so, with the online presentation of meeting, the digitization of medical education to this degree, and to find that within 10 months, it just took a pandemic to turn the world upside down and suddenly we were faced with the future. It was here now. Yeah.
No question about it. I think, listen, when you have difficult situations as we did, you know, you have two choices. You can put your head in the sand, or you can rise to the occasion. And I will say that the medical education community absolutely rose to the occasion. I mean, I think I saw so many good quality programs during the last year as we all pivoted to something that we never, ever expected to be doing. I think we were dabbling with it. You know, it's like you would do a program, you're like, yeah, let's do a simulcast too, because maybe some more people will join via the simulcast. But it was never a priority. And I think now we've changed that to recognize that, you know, we can use this medium, the medium of webcasting, to really bring an audience in. It's not the same. It's not the same experience, but it does a pretty good job. And we've moved forward a whole lot quicker than I think any of us would have thought.
Yeah. And so moving on to this year itself, you applied to run a workshop at European CME Forum at 14 ECF, and we're delighted to be welcoming you there this year. But what made you interested in presenting it in the first place?
Sure. I thought the topic, well, first of all, I think the ECF Forum has always been a great meeting. I've been several times over the years. It's been unfortunate that we haven't been able to come live in person the last couple of years. But I think that the topic is a really important one. And I think the notion of understanding how we can operate throughout the world doing independent medical education is more important than ever. I think I've seen it among our supporters. Most of our work is supported by industry. They're trying to grapple with their colleagues in Europe, their colleagues in Asia, as they continue to support continuing education to make sure that they're adhering to standards. But the reality is the standards in Europe, the standards in Asia are really quite different than they are in the United States. So how do we work in that world? And that's part of the reason I joined GAME, to understand those rules and regulations throughout the world, and how to somehow figure out how to create education within those confines that works for everyone in the world.
Great. And your workshop is now, you're sort of bringing to the meeting, bringing to life some of the experiences that you've had. Can you give some a bit more background as to how this came about?
Sure. Yeah. So I think in talking with Celeste and talking with Lisa, my co-presenters, it became clear that while we all do the same thing, we all work in very different environments. In the United States, as I'm sure you know, IME is very different than it is in Asia and even than it is in Europe. And that can vary, of course, by country by country. So in Singapore, it's very different, for instance, than it is in Japan. Similarly, in Europe, it's very different in the UK than it is in other countries within Europe. So I think the challenge is, how do we bring all of that together to create great education? I'll give you an anecdote. So recently we created an educational program in HIV. And one of the components that we created was patient education. It was actually rather fun. We used a drag queen here in the United States to talk with an HIV provider to older patients with HIV to sort of address some of the issues around aging and HIV. So it was a really interesting, cool topic, important topic. The supporter loved it, thought it was an amazing program. We got tremendous accolades, and their colleagues in Portugal heard about it. And they said, we would like to use this program as well. We're like, great, wonderful. We just need to translate it. Not a problem. We'll be happy to do that. They didn't want to do that. What they wanted us to do was give them the program, let them edit it, translate it, and do a variety of things. And that was against any rules that we know in the United States, because unfortunately, that means they're changing the program and controlling the program. So again, how do you deal with situations like that when you operate under one set of rules here, but then want to bring a program that's absolutely of value to another part of the world? Do you operate under the same rules that it was created, or do you need to sort of modify that rules based on where you're going?
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. And you mentioned you'll be co-presenting with Celeste and Lisa. Can you say a little bit about where they come from and how they were involved in this project?
Sure. So Celeste Kalenko is based in the UK and works for an independent medical education in the UK, Librium. And she and I have been working on the game board together for many, many years now. So we know each other that way. And when we saw the topic come up, we thought this would be appropriate. Lisa, on the other hand, Lisa Sullivan, works mostly in Asia. She's based in Australia, but also has offices in Singapore. And in that part of the world, she actually has two companies. So she has an IME company, but she also has a promotional company. We're not allowed to do that in the United States. It has to be completely separate. So I think the three of us will bring together really interesting perspectives from each of our environments and how that affects what we do and what we can do. I think at the end of the day, whether Lisa does it or I do it or Celeste does it, it's high quality education. Nothing that I've ever seen from certainly the two of them has been anything but high quality education. But ultimately, what makes the difference for us is a level of control, right? And the United States says, if in fact pharma looks at it, advises on faculty, does any of those kinds of things, reviews slides, then it is no longer independent medical education and it is referred to as promotion. So I think that's challenging. How do we work in that world where we're all producing great things?
Yeah, and it's something that's certainly coming to the fore during our COVID era, that the learners are after the best education they can get hold of. And that's really important for us as providers to provide this. And the other discussions here are about sort of the independence, who's controlling what, or even the accreditation side, the credits themselves seem to be, say, taking a second and third place now. And in a way, it's great that the focus now is on the quality of education and not the bureaucracy anymore.
Absolutely. I think that's critical. I think ultimately what's important here is that we all create great education. And now we just have to figure out how to work within the bureaucracies of each of our individual environments.
Great. And in your session during 14 ECF, You know, you'll be in the breakout environment. You know, you'll have a group of people for sort of 30 minutes or so. How are you going to engage them? What are you hoping to sort of get from them during your session?
Sure. So the goal here will be really to engage everyone that is in our session to get their perspective. They'll all be from, you know, hopefully all parts of the world. Hopefully we'll have representatives from Europe and the United States and Asia in our session. And what we really want to do is impart to them, one, some examples, like I've just described, and then try to begin a conversation about how do you deal with that, given the regulations in your individual country. How would you manage a particular project and get their perspective? Because I'm sure they've all faced the same things as potentially receiving grants from a US funder in a European setting or an Asian setting. So I think the goal is to bring all of the attendees together to give them an overview of the topic, but then let them really dive in and address the topic and hopefully make it very interactive and engaging.
Excellent. And if there's a single thing from what you know at the moment of about this environment, what would you hope would be the single thing that the delegates would be able to do after having attended your session?
Sure. I think if after attending our session, people can walk away with two things. One, a better understanding of IME throughout the world and what that really means. And two, how to work with their colleagues internationally to take great content, no matter where it is created, and make it available to everybody throughout the world.
Lovely. That's a great summary then. That's sort of all the questions that I wanted to ask you today. You've given a fantastic overview today, Dean. Is there anything else you would like to say about your session?
Not that I can think of. I hope everyone comes to our session. I think it's going to be really interesting. And I think we need to figure out ways, as I've said, to sort of get over these divisions that we might have by the rules imposed by us, by our individual countries, and figure out how to create the best education for everybody.
Well, that sounds great. Okay, so Dean, I look forward to seeing you in November virtually. And well, hopefully in person soon after that. But first off, I look forward to seeing you at 14 ECF. And thank you very much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you virtually and hopefully in person in the future. And thank you so much for this invitation to present at 14 ECF. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. See you then. Thank you.
Take care.
That was Dean Beals from DKB Med, joining me to discuss his upcoming workshop at the 14th Annual European CME Forum. Registration is open for the 14th Annual meeting, and if you complete our annual survey, you will receive a 10% discount. Your registration will also give you access to the complete archive of the 13th Annual European CME Forum, consisting of all the plenary and workshop sessions with over 18 hours of CME CPD content from a faculty of 70 experts in European and global CME. More information on the upcoming 14th Annual European CME Forum and this year's JECME Special Collection can be found on our website, cmeforum.org. Thank you for listening, and join us for more episodes as we explore all things CME CPD.